the department so it doesn't take food we have?
So far we're just waiting for the rest of the officials to attend state. But when you just go to the delegation list that we received, the Deputy Minister will be attending the meeting on behalf of the Minister. I'm not sure if the Deputy Minister is actually present. With the last time I spoke to the TLO, she said that she was. I'm just waiting for her to attend. In attendance from the department, we've got... I don't actually see them reflected. I need assistance from the department to just indicate who is here, Chief.
Okay, now let's do that. Let's do that then. Let's allow the department that we can ask who's there and we will receive the presentation.
Good afternoon, Chair. Annalene, I think you will take over.
Good afternoon, Chair. My name is Dr. Annalene Chetty. I am representing the delegation. Deputy Minister Majola will be leading the delegation, so I'm not sure if you want to proceed or you want to wait for him to join in the meeting.
I think let's allow the meeting to continue, and then what the Deputy Minister will then probably do, he will then have an opportunity in his closing remarks to give a message to the committee in terms of the presentation that is before us. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Will the committee be flighting, committee secretary be flighting the presentation?
Thank you. Just to indicate to honorable members that the scope of today's meeting is the presentation on the MDI clothing, textile, footwear, and leather master plan. And this master plan is quite critical because it's an integral part of the reimagined program of the industrial strategy. So therefore, it will sort of give us a sense in terms of where we are in terms of the progress that we have made around the master plan and also evolution and the rationale and where we are going and progress where we are. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. With your permission, may I put my camera off while I do the presentation?
No problem.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair, honourable members of the committee, my fellow colleagues. Thank you for the opportunity to present the Clothing, Textile, Leather and Footwear Master Plan to committee. Whilst the plan has been widely accepted, we would like to emphasise that the implementation is a continuous work in progress. Chair, can we move to slide 2? I want to introduce my team. With me, my name is Dr. Annalene Chetty from the Industrial Competitiveness and Growth branch. I am joined by my fellow colleagues, Ms. Elaine Smith, who is the Director of Clothing and Textiles, Dr. Jaywan Irkade, who is the Director of Leather and Footwear. I'm also joined by Mr. Mahendra Chandzu, who has been appointed as the Director for the Project Management Office, responsible for the implementation of Master Plan, and we're supported by Ms. Tandi Bela, who is our Chief Director for Metal. Can we move on to slide 5? Chair, just to set the context for the Master Plan, success of the South African Retail Clothing, Textiles, Leather and Footwear Master Plan depends less on its content being 100% correct and more on whether key value chain stakeholders across both the public and private sectors believes in the vision and objectives that have been set and are prepared to set aside legacy-based visions and work together to achieve the outcomes that have been mutually agreed on. Just to provide a rationale for the master plan, the retail value chain is a major contributor to the South African economy, with the clothing, textiles, footwear and leather retail playing a much larger role than the manufacturing portion of the value chain. The value chain's GDP contributes to 74 billion, while its employment contribution is 210,071. Based on South Africa's 2016 economic position, this equates to 1.7% contribution to GDP. In terms of the South African clothing, textile, leather and footwear retailers, clothing, textile, leather and footwear products are worth $70 billion in 2016, with $43 billion in clothing products, $12.7 billion in textile, $11.6 billion in footwear, and $2.6 billion in leather products. Imports typically dominate clothing, textile, footwear, and leather products at 53%, 52.9%, 56%, and 61%. If we can move on to slide 6. So these are the main policy levers that have been in place up until the master plan and is currently still in place. It is the competitiveness program, which ran from 2009 to 2019, aimed at stabilizing industry and reducing job losses. It's also the designation of the clothing, textile, footwear, and leather products under the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act, which designated such products with 100% local content. And here we are presenting the master plan. We can move on to the next slide. So here, this particular slide sets the framework for the next slide. Can we move to the next slide? So whilst that is being put on new, so this is broadly the framework for the master plan, which is underpinned by a very strong foundation of sound institutional arrangement, as well as a strong legislative environment. It is supported by the strategic pillars of a strong one, firstly, domestic market growth, secondly, value chain localization, thirdly, competitiveness advancement, value chain transformation, technology, and associated skills development. This is sustained by a solid vision, which is to create a sustainable and dynamic retail clothing, textile, footwear, leather chain that provides the customer compelling products and that is invested in growing local capabilities and employment. Can we move on to slide 8? So here, this is an indication of the social contracting framework, which is made up of these particular stakeholders, which is our retailers, manufacturers, government and labor. As I've indicated earlier, the real success of the master plan is the ability of all these role players to synchronize their commitments and efforts towards achieving the master plan objectives. We can move on to the next slide. So Chair, this is merely a slide highlighting some of the key commitments and core actions of the master plan, and I will explain it in a little bit more detail in a later slide. We can move on. So the 7 commitments are growing the local market, local sourcing, stopping illegal imports, tariffs and rebates, incentive program extensions like your productive incentive program and your competitiveness improvement program, production flexibility and value chain transformation. Can we move on to the next slide? Just to give you an indication, Chair, of the status of the master plan to date, the master plan was signed at the President's Investment Conference in November 2019. To date, there were 7 task teams that were set up. In terms of institutional arrangements, the project management is established under the leadership of Mahendra Shanmugam, and the project management forum met on the 9th of March 2019. You'll recall, Chair, that we went into lockdown after that. There was also an establishment of an executive oversight committee made up of various stakeholders, largely from industry. We can move on to the next slide. I think so these are the commitments that were made to the master plan and to realizing the master plan. And if you look at the numbers, I think these industry commitments made to the sector is a strong indication of the existence of the master plan and buy-in from the industry. And if you recall my earlier comments, I said that success of the master plan will not be based on the accuracy of the content, but rather the stakeholder buy-in and commitment to achieve its objectives. And another reason why we should be excited by these figures, which is $6.7 billion committed by the sector towards, committed by the industry towards the sector, is that we currently operate in a very constrained public sector financial environment, and these commitments will definitely help to improve the sector and help to supplement government's very limited resources. We can move on to the next slide. So I've already given you an indication of who the stakeholder master plan is. I'm not going to go into it in detail. I'm assuming that when it takes the document, it's read. So it's basically the manufacturers, the workers, and government. Can move on to the next slide. So this is basically an indication of the delivery of commitments. The first commitment was to grow the local market for local CCFL products, if you don't mind me using the acronym, develop and market local brands and labels, upgrade local design and manufacturing competitiveness, extend and scale up by local campaigns. The second commitment is increasing local procurement for the sector, which is to grow local sector procurement to $69 billion, 65% share of retail sales. The next one is to stem the flow of illegal imports. Many of you would know that the biggest problem plaguing this particular industry was the influx of illegal imports, and it impacted on our local manufacturers and local suppliers. The first commitment is the strategic use of tariffs and rebates. The first one is to extend the CIP and TIP in an appropriate format for 3 years. This is currently being done, and I'll give you an update on that later on in the presentation. Commitment 6 is to align production capacity to sales cycle. Commitment 7 is looking at value chain transformation. We can move on to the next slide. Just to give you an indication of progress to date, here, as I mentioned, with the onset of COVID and lockdown, it did impact quite a bit on the sector. However, we're back on track, and we're definitely achieving progress in implementation, but we need to see the whole process as a continuous state of work in progress. So in terms of the first commitment, what's been done to date is we've been working with Proudly South Africa and all the stakeholders to drive localization efforts through the extension of the Buy Local campaign, the media and marketing campaigns as well. We're experiencing challenges with some of the retailers who are reluctant to drive localization efforts. However, we are working on that and trying to extend their commitment. The next area is looking at increasing local procurement. COVID has impacted on retailers being able to achieve their targets. However, increased effort has been directed at the localization effort of personal and protective equipment, and I'll go into that a little bit later. The other area, and I mentioned that it has been today quite a significant challenge for the industry, is stemming the flow of illegal imports, and to that end, an inter-agency working group was established within government to tackle the whole issue of illicit trade. It includes the DPIC, National Treasury, South African Police Services, National Prosecuting Authority, South African Revenue Services, and the International Trade Administration commitment. Chair, this is just one committee working on addressing one challenge or one area of the commitment, and you will see from the numbers how much can actually be achieved when you pull your resources together and you have targeted, integrated efforts to tackle any particular issue. The issue of stemming the flow of illegal imports has been an issue that has plagued the sector for a long time. And here you look at the numbers, and I think it speaks for itself in terms of how much has been achieved in a relatively short space of time. If you go into the next slide, I'll go into a little bit more detail of what's been achieved between September 2019 and February 2020. There's been 418 seizures finalized, valued to $79.3 million on various clothing items not compliant in terms of value, origin, quantity, or tariff. There's been 105 seizures finalized, valued at $77.8 million, with 18,905 various counterfeit clothing items seized. 381 seizures finalized, valued at $1.1 million, and equating to 134,501 counterfeit footwear. These imported clothing valued at $6.7 million destroyed by SARS in November 2019. Here, I went into a little bit more detail on that just to give an indication of how much potential this master plan has to be able to achieve a lot of progress in addressing many of the challenges that were identified during this process. Go to the next slide. We're looking at the fourth commitment, which is the strategic use of tariffs and rebates. ITAC has published a notice to investigate the potential of a launch of a rebate facility for textiles and apparel manufacturing in Botswana, Lesotho, and Lesotho. Finalization of the proposal with industry stakeholders and offtake commitments and potential textile rebate commitments. The first one is extend the CIP and PIP in an appropriate format. We've already been having a number of industry engagements and looking at a proposal that's already been drafted. It's currently being worked on with both industry and labor together with the ITC and the DTIC. And in the next few weeks or months, we will have a final outcome. Then on the sixth one is the value chain transformation. So the transformation is about investigating technology disruption, it's investigating skills development and bring about transformation in the sector. And this is being done by developing joint plans with various departments such as your Department of Higher Education and Training, Productivity SA. Also looking at how we can use the Black Industrial Program more effectively to ensure transformation of this particular sector. If we can go on to the next slide. Here you know with the introduction of COVID, a number of retailers and manufacturers were not able to continue business as usual, and many of them had repurposed their businesses to be able to supply masks and other types of PPE. And to that effect, we've intensified our efforts towards the industry to ensure localization of PPE and therefore avoid situations where we have a large influx of cheap products from China, and at the same time allowing for our local manufacturing sectors to be able to grow, especially during the difficult time of our pandemic. And these are some of the support measures we've put in place. If we can move on to the next slide. So some of the support measures that we've put in place are basically supporting various products such as your surgical and consumer masks, respirators, medical textiles, leather and footwear products, gloves, body bags, and our support to the industry was in various forms such as sourcing and ensuring the availability of raw materials in South Africa, rebate support and tariff protection, testing, certification and standards, expansion of production, matching of demand and supply, visibility of tenders and awards, especially from local provincial governments. Here I must emphasize that was quite a struggle. We weren't successful in trying to convince some of the procurement entities to budget locally, and we're hoping that in the next few weeks we're going to be able to achieve that. Also adhering to procurement regulations and the issuing of timely orders by the organs of state. If we can move on to the next slide. Here, just in terms of in the master plan and the provinces. The project management office has already established contact with a number of provincial authorities as well as Metro, and engagement has started with them and looking at how they could benefit and participate in the whole master plan implementation process. If you look at, and we continue to do that, continue to engage and ensuring that where relevant, we ensure that the provinces are involved and, on a significant scale. In terms of the last slide, this is basically the provincial spread of the TIP recipients, which is our incentive program. Sri, I'm not sure if there are any questions at this stage. I will take a round of questions. I do have my team who is supporting me, and they will also help with answering some of the questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chetty, for the presentation. Let's probably check whether the Deputy Minister is here, because we started before we could lay the foundation for Chetty to present. I suspect this will be the right time and opportunity for the Deputy Minister just to probably give context to the presentation that has been made before allowing other members to make some inputs. DM? Over to you, DM Ajola. And our permission for starting before you could log in. But we know that there is a struggle for time, but also we are threshold over. Over to you, DM.
Thanks, Chairperson. It is me who must apologize. I was struggling to move from one meeting to join your meeting, Chairperson. And good afternoon to all the honorable members and officials from the committee, officials from the department led by Dr. Chetty. I won't be long, Chair. I just need to thank Dr. Chetty for the presentation. Chair, to say that as you were pointing out, this is but one master plan. In January this year, when we had the cabinet Lekgotla, immediately after that, President directed us that first we should identify key sectors to grow the economy. And on the basis of the agreed sectors, we must develop very clear master plans for each of those sectors. So the clothing, textile, footwear and leather master plan is one of those. In some of these, such as agriculture, we have worked with other departments to ensure that we can finalize the master plans. So, Chairperson, this particular master plan is particularly important because of the history of the sector and the fact that over the last few years, this sector has suffered because of a decline in manufacturing. As a result of global factors in particular. So it is, we're now focusing on it to ensure partly that we rebuild manufacturing capacity and that we can expand that the local retail to ensure that we change the composition of retail sales to increase more domestic supply and purchase. So, Chairperson, Dr. Chetty has already pointed out that we have now established a program management office to ensure that we can get down to the real business of implementation. And obviously we've been affected very negatively by the COVID, by the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. So as we implemented the plan now going forward in the context of building, rebuilding the economy in an inclusive way, we're going to have to ensure that we take into account the impact of that COVID-19 has had on the sector. We must say that, as Dr. Chetty pointed out, we're happy that during this pandemic, we're able to calibrate domestic capabilities to ensure that the sector can contribute towards the production of personal protective equipment. So we have set very ambitious targets, as you will see in the master plan, we'll be working together with the different sectors. As the minister says, this is a different way of working to ensure that there are partnerships. He calls this each partner bring something to what he calls bring and buy. So you would see that the government has made very clear commitments in terms of what we should do. And one of the immediate tasks we need to carry out is to ensure that we can strengthen our capacity for customs control and enforcement. The trade union movement has committed itself to ensure that they can work in a flexible way to be able to take account of the production cycle, so that when this production cycle is up, they can have a flexible arrangement to ensure that they can support the growth of the sector. So are the retailers who have committed to ensure that they can expand the local purchase. So thanks very much, Chairperson. We will ensure that we do everything we can to ensure that all the stakeholders can focus on carrying out the commitments that have been made, and for our part as government, we'll be doing everything to ensure that we can support this sector to grow up again. So thanks a lot, Chair, and once again, sorry for joining late, and thanks to Dr. Chetty for the presentation on behalf of the department. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, DM, for the overview, which indeed also located, you are able to locate the presentation that was made by Dr. Chetty in the broader political framework and commitment of our government. I would then, without any sort of time, open the floor for engagement from honorable members. I just want to check whether in the chair who's struggling. Honorable Kai? Welcome, Honorable Tango. Let me then open the floor for engagement. I'll start with Tim.
Let me just say that Honorable Kai had difficulty connecting this morning. I'm not too sure if he's still experiencing the same problem. However, my question to the DM is, are we actually ensuring that labeling for the origin of products is actually carefully being monitored? I think it's important that the country of origin, labeling, be very effective. So sometimes I would walk into rooms and I would see products from a Middle Eastern country and the products we produce ourselves.
Thank you, General Dan. What about you?
Chair, I don't have too much to add. Safe to say that of anything that supports local producers. We definitely stand against our local companies, especially the textile and clothing industry being closed down by, frankly, carnivorous attacks from other parts of the world that frankly produce textiles and clothing at ridiculous prices on the back of effectively what could be called slave labour. And I think we need to, as a committee, to take a very, very clear stance on that, is that we support fair trade. And if we are competing in a world in textiles and clothing with other countries that are not competing fairly, that are not looking after their workers properly, that cannot be countenanced. And we should be competing in an environment where we know that our competitors are treating their people in the correct fashion and applying the correct work standards. And it's a completely unfair playing field if you're competing against other countries that are not paying close attention to the welfare of their workers and many other factors. So I do support any initiatives, and I thank the department for this sort of initiative that places ethics back in the textile and clothing industry and allows local producers to be competitive. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, Chair, I'm going to do it like this. Hopefully my network is going to work with us today. I fully endorse and support what Honourable Brown has said. The one thing that I do want to just flag for the committee, and you remember a while back, we had this Proudly South African campaign and buying local. And I do think that when we do those kind of campaigns, it's also very important that we lead by example. So that when we do support and buy, we don't buy the Italian brands or the French brands, and we've got some very capable and people that design and make clothing locally. And I think that's something that as a committee chairperson, we must also then encourage and also hold leaders to account so that they do support locally. But in other words, I am in full support of this. We used to be one of the market leaders when it came to this, and unfortunately we took a back seat, and it would be great if we can take up a bit more of the market space.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Honorable Rasha.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm echoing the sentiments of my two colleagues that spoke before me. I would just like to know, I see in the presentation that they spoke of the work that's going to be done in conjunction with various departments of government. I'd just like to know, what are we going to do to ensure that at our borders, the people with illegal clothing, etc., etc., do not get through, because we are aware that our borders are rather porous, so if we could just have a look at that. And then what steps will be taken to ensure that our whistleblowers are given the protection that they need? And then I'm very concerned about the visibility of tenders and awards from our provinces and local municipalities. The presenter said that it's a huge problem and that they will shortly be in a position to address this issue. If she could just expatiate on that, it would be great. And thank you very much again for the presentation, and well done and good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Basho. The chair there,
yes, I am. I don't know if you can hear me, because I can hear all of you, but I don't know if you can hear me. Okay, no, thank you very much. I've been hearing you all the time, but unfortunately, you couldn't hear me. Thank you very much. Let me start by saying, also echoing the words of the Deputy Minister, indicating that this is one amongst many other master plans. We agree with that, because as a committee, we agree that we will be inviting the department to come and present other master plans. So this one is there for the start. My question is one is on the issue of the imports. I'm worried about the big percentage in terms of the imports that we are getting in the country, more than 50% in some situations, others are more than 60%. Despite the fact that we have tariffs and rebates, so I'm very worried about that particular aspect because it will mean these rebates and must go on forever. And my question therefore is how do we make sure, are there any monetary mechanisms to ensure that companies are not only just enjoying these rebates and tariffs, and they're not contributing to the objective of the master plan in achieving the targets with regard to growing the sales, the local share of the sales, growing the number of jobs, but also the figures that are indicated in the master plan, whether it be the jobs or the growing the sales, local sales, you know, whether these are annual targets. If not, why can't we then have the annual target so that we can monitor the achievement? I'm happy also with the achievement on the commitment of government, the work that it is doing to ensure that there are no illegal imports. There was that slide that was talking to that. I was very impressed and also encouraged the government to continue ensuring. We were worried that during the time of the ban of cigarettes, there were cigarettes that were coming in, despite the fact that there was a ban on tobacco and cigarettes. So it makes you wonder that it would then government be able to stop these illegal imports if it was a problem to stop the illicit tobacco and cigarettes coming to the country. If that can just give us an indication what the city, if that's a little bit of detail, the one that is going to be extended for another 3 years, that has been on until 2019, that's a detail as to how is it incentivizing the industry, if you could get a detail with regard to that. But the last one, Chair, is on the local campaign. You know, when this campaign, the Buy Local campaign, when it started, there was a vibe around it, everybody watching it, but it's very quiet now. I see that that's a commitment from the side of the with regard to the Buy Local. But you just don't speak on the ground. If those, when the property in South Africa can was this place, even some institutions and the property is still supporting it. And we might have created my soccer team used to be one of the signatories from the South African campaign. But now if you can see, oh my gosh, okay, let me leave it at that. Can you hear me now?
of the NGOs. understand what specific references to the provinces. Thank you. Over to you, Dean. Thank you, Minister. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. If I may start, I'll ask Dr. Chetty to add. Honorable Dango, thanks very much for that question. It's an important issue of that we should deal with, of the labeling of products. I think just at a technical level, what in terms of what more can we do to ensure that all products on our shelves are properly labeled. The team led by Dr. Chetty can add there. But just to make a broad statement on the problems of labeling and the countries of origin. This is a big issue that we've got to deal with as a country right now in terms of the products we're dealing with. And in the context of the African Continental Free Trade Area, this is going to be a very big issue because we're going to face very serious problems of transshipment where products are made in other countries, dumped in the continent, labeled, and then sent duty-free across the continent. It's going to be a very, very big problem that we're going to have to deal with. So the issue of the proper labeling of products and monitoring is an issue that we have to step our action around to ensure that the countries of origin are properly labeled on our products. So that's the first thing. The second is Honorable Pradesh. With regard to the issues of ethics you raise and some of the difficulties of the products we get from other countries, this is an important issue. Minister Patel has been dealing with this, and to be frank, in particular in this sense, the biggest problem we have had, in addition to India and other countries, the biggest challenge we have had is with regard to products from China. The minister on various occasions has raised sharply with the Chinese embassy and the minister of trade of China this month. There are several aspects to it. The first one is dumping, and related to it is under invoicing. In addition to those problems of countries where they produce products at a lower cost because of the cost of labor in those countries, we have had very serious problems of dumping of products in our country and undervoicing, especially of goods from our counterparts in China. The minister has raised this matter quite sharply, including in the ministers of BRICS. It's an issue that we are tending to. We're losing a lot of revenue as a country as a result of undervoicing that is currently going on. It's an issue that the department is attending to. With regard to Honorable Bond, the Buy Local campaign, the point you're making there, we agree with you fully. So it's an issue that we've got to work with industry to ensure that we can increase the composition of the products we're consuming, that most of those can come from local manufacturers. Honorable Borshoff, the work with various departments is a difficult matter that you're raising. You know, in last year that agency working group did conduct some raids, and we've been successful. It was useful at a symbolic level and also substantially because quite a substantial amount of goods were seized. But we're going to have to build a sustainable capacity to ensure that we can control our borders properly. So the inter-agency working group of the different agencies of government is working on that. The issue of our borders is a big problem. We've got to work with the Department of Home Affairs and other departments to ensure that we can protect our country from illegal flow of goods. So it's an important matter that we continue to pay attention to. We have made some progress, but we've got to do more in this regard to ensure that we have a permanent and sustainable solution with regard to our border control. Honorable Khai, yes, indeed, we will come back when the Select Committee asks us to come and present on other master plans that we finalize the rule that we are currently working on. The issue of imports that you raised, we've got to address because these imports eat on the domestic on jobs in the local economy. So we've got to address that. So there are two problems with regard to imports. The first problem is just at the level of the composition of trade aid. If you look at many of the countries, except those in SADC, that the composition of trade is very skewed with regard to the fact that we import more than what we export. So it tells you that we're consuming too much of what we don't produce as a country. So that's the first thing that you've got to address. So that speaks to expanding local capacity. So that's the first method that we need to deal with. The second relates to illegal import. As you have pointed out, the Honorable Kai and the Honorable Worship has spoken to this as well. So that's an issue that we're going to deal with as well. And you're quite right, there was quite an upset during the ban on cigarettes the smuggling of cigarettes in the country. So that the illicit trade of cigarettes, we're going to have to be rolled back because it did expand during the ban on cigarettes. So it's an issue that we need to pay attention to. With regard to the extension, Dr. Chetty did speak about that, and I'd like her to come back to give more clarity and details on that, including on the Buy Local campaign. I must say, Chair, when Honorable Kai was speaking about the Buy Local campaign, we started to have difficulties of hearing him, so that I can ask Dr. Chetty to speak to that. On monitoring of companies, the program management office will have to help us do this on other side. We agree with you that we can't simply provide incentives to companies, but there's no proof that the companies would not ensure that we can concentrate on building domestic production capacity and therefore increase the number of local jobs. So it's an issue that we've got to attend to. At this stage, we're quite sure that the stakeholders, our partners, labor, and the industry is quite committed to ensuring that the master plan succeeds. So we have to ensure that there's a proper monitoring to ensure that all of the partners comply with the commitment that they make each. With regard to the provincial Fred, Chair, the team from the department and Ed there. Just to say that we have now started a process of working with the different embassies and officials at the department as well as by the DG and the nations, the HODs in the provinces. We're now trying to focus our work and ensure that we can coordinate more from the side of the department with provinces in a targeted way so that we can help provinces with the programs that we are implementing. So this is something that in our next meeting of with the MECs, we will take forward. So thank you very much, Chair, and can I ask with your permission that the Dr. Chetty and the team should add on some of the issues that they haven't covered sufficiently. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, dear. Let's agree Dr. Chetty to take the speech, send the speech.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister, for your comprehensive responses thus far. We also want to thank the committee so far for your overwhelming support, and we look forward to your continued support in the implementation of this master plan as well as other master plans we will be presenting to you. Chair, I am supported by my technical team, and I'd like to give them an opportunity to participate. So just in terms of your question, looking at labeling and the origin, Dr. J. Irkide will respond to that question in terms of the CTCP and as well as the distribution in the provinces. Elaine Smith, who's our Director for Clothing and Textiles, will take us through. And in terms of the other questions where you looked at working with various departments and protecting our borders, the issue of whistleblowing and protection of whistleblowers, looking at the provinces and the municipality tenders, the imports and the concern around the high percentages, the Buy Local campaign, as well as the monitoring of companies. I'm hoping I captured all of that. Mr. Mahinder Shanmugam will take us through. He is the director of the Public Management Office and responsible for driving many of these issues. So we will start with Dr. J and we'll move on to Elaine and then to Mahinder. Thank you, Chair.
Good afternoon, Honorable Member, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon, Deputy Minister. With regard to the labeling legislation, we work very closely with Commissioner Metevi Mabuza at National Consumer Commission. She is responsible for the Consumer Protection Act. And we have regular meeting with the Commissioner. And there are a couple of things we have escalated recently. In past, if anything is detained at our borders by custom, which doesn't adhere to the labeling legislation, they used to send intimation to NCC. And at time they used to just give a release note. And that wasn't monitored properly. So what we have done, Chair, so far, for last 2 years, we have now included the textile clothing, leather footwear, particularly in the protected and prohibited list of import under SARS and custom. It means that anything detained at the border, if it doesn't adhere to the Consumer Protection Act labeling legislation, it must be returned to the country of origin. In past, these goods were allowed. They used to receive note from NCC, release note, and at time these goods were allowed to be sold to any other country on the continent. So both these practices have been completely stopped now. A month before, we have reviewed about 34 cases in collaboration with Customs and National Consumer Commission, and most of those goods are detained. And they are making sure that most of goods will be returned to the country of origin. So that's how far we are with regard to the Consumer Protection Act. In relation to your the illegal import, we are very closely working with SARS and Customs. Customs has a challenge under draft approved protocol, there are 6 valuation methods we have reviewed. But currently, because of lack of systems and automation, currently SARS is not able to use other 4 methods effectively. So as a team, we have been recommended the use of kind of a blockchain methodology that can automate the whole process. And basically, it has been widely acknowledged by SARS. The proof of concept is with executives, and we receive their commitment. In future, we'll have more automation. So anything that will come through any border, whether it is road or sea, at the border posts, the more automated system will be available in terms of import valuation. Also, we are closely working with IPC with regard to FreeTech. So there is currently quite a lot of work that need to be done. Together with CIPC, how we can arrest counterfeits coming into the game. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Minister and members, colleagues. I will be addressing the Clothing Textile Competitiveness Program. It has been, we're thinking of changing the name to Clothing Textile Footwear and Leather Competitiveness Program because it actually has included the footwear and leather sector basically from the start. The way that it supports the industry is by supporting interventions that will improve their competitiveness, and these relate to people, process, product, market development, capital equipment, and technology demonstration. Of course, this program has come to an end, so we are reviewing it, and it's been being adapted to address COVID-19 related impact from this pandemic, which will probably move us towards something like an interest rate subsidy. There's also a cluster program. So those are the type of ways in which the incentive supports the industry. And it is aimed towards sustainability in terms both socially, environmentally, and financially, hoping to stabilize and hopefully also grow eventually the sector and also jobs. As far as the spread is concerned in the provinces, this is related to the production incentive, which has been running over a 10-year period. This is basically just a typical spread, according to where the sectors are located or the manufacturers are located. All the manufacturers are allowed equally to apply, irrespective of where they are based. But you will find historically that the biggest part of these clothing textile footwear and leather sectors or manufacturers have been located in the Western Cape and KZN, and then after that Gauteng, and the Limpopo is also growing, but there's also a portion in the Eastern Cape. So typically it used to basically always be Western Cape and KZN, but the others are also showing some growth. So there's no particular reason for that. It's just I think where the ports are located and the way historically that these sectors have been developed. I hope those addresses the questions correctly. Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Chetty? Here's a response to Andrew. I'm going to ask Mr. Chair to give up the minister honorable the members, thanks to Mahendra, respond to the other issues that you as honorable member said, it's very imperative that South Africans and especially our participants join the club.
Chair. Yes, I'm addressing wrong chair. That is not audible.
Can you hear me that? Let me.
Still a chance to come in, right?
Hi, can you hear me? Let me try to change. Sorry for the
yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes.
Hi, Chair, yes. So, taking heed from the Honourable Member's earlier comment saying that our public representatives must support the buy local and the cause to support our local industries by, you know, purchasing from the clothing or textile industry, this is be very imperative to the master plan. As you would have noticed, the Proudly South African organization and institute, which is a part of the DPIC and the brainchild of President Mandela, has recently launched its buy local campaign with Mr. John Carney as the lead there. In the coming weeks, there will be a specific clothing, textile, footwear, and leather buy local campaign that the Proudly South Africa colleagues will be launching to drive demand of local products from our society. With that, we've been having many conversations with all the stakeholders, including Woolworths, who are trying to onshore some of their new production lines. For example, Woolworths will now be starting a new baby clothing line located in Port Shepstone, a new factory that will be employing about 200 new employees. And this is part of the master plan drive that the Deputy Minister spoke about and how we monitor and evaluate the impact of the industry to create jobs and grow our economy. To the point about the monitoring and evaluation, yes, we have very clear monitoring within the master plan to ensure that the localization effort that as promised at our presidential conference in 2019 is committed and upheld and adhered. With that, we have each industry stakeholder and the manufacturing sector has relayed a specific target confidentially to the ministry and to the DTIC, and then we check that and evaluate their progress. Considering COVID-19, there has been some sluggishness and, of course, the economic impact of many of those targets, but we are adjusting and with the industry moving forward into how we now progress and matching it to the cycle. Regarding the value chain and imports and how the imports is affecting us, as my colleague Jay mentioned, the interagency working group is now looking at advanced technology such as blockchain technology, country of origin there within the system, so that when the products come here, there's not an undervaluation of the product and also not illegal products coming into consignment that enter our borders. The interagency working group is also upgrading our border controls is done, working with SACU, and then working towards supporting the implementation of the protocols that have been identified. Regarding the provinces and how we look at the provinces and the tenders, Chair, there has been, as you will notice in the media, many issues regarding our public sector procurement and instruction note 5 that has caused a lot of confusion and all the publications now. Working with the National Treasury and and our department, we've been trying to ensure that public sector procurement adheres to the 100% designated local content product, which is clothing, textile, footwear, and leather. It falls into 100% designated in terms of the PPFA and the Public Sector Financial Management Act. There has been many problems within some institutions who, for the lack of better words, not familiarity with the legislation and having to be informed and educated on the legislation. The DTIC is custodian of the legislation, and with the industrial procurement sector, we have been monitoring and working with the National Treasury to strengthen some of the monitoring and evaluation tools. Then to the idea of the provinces and working with the master plan, as my colleague Anne-Lien mentioned, that we are working with the provinces to identify collaboration within their budget allocation to strengthen the value chain within the provinces, KZN being one case in point, with all the investment arms, Gauteng and the Western Cape. There has been communication and conversations to this point and alignment to the master plan. On another point, Chair, the task team of skills and productivity has begun. So this task team specifically looks at the value chain and looking at the job growth and the impact of technology into the sector in the coming years. As you're aware, our shores will not be unaffected by the increase in technology and intelligence. And in this clothing sector, if we create jobs now in terms of the jobs that have been in existence previously without looking at the impact of technology, we'll be left with a very problematic situation in the coming years. So the task team on skills and productivity development has already started looking at how artificial intelligence and the skill set that will be needed to go into the sector so that we can thrive in the coming years. Yes, thank you, Chair. I think I'll end on that note.
Thank you. Dr. Chek, is your delegation completed now?
Yes, Chair. I think we've answered all of your questions. I'm hoping the committee is satisfied with the responses.
Thank you. I saw the hand of the chair of the committee. I suspect the LRC in relation to the point that the DM has raised to say at the time when there was disruption, there's a point that was arriving. So let me go back to Honorable Khai just to allow him an opportunity to reiterate the point that was not very audible. Honorable Khai?
No follow-up from me, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Dango. Honorable Professor? Honorable Lunch?
Chair, I'm covered. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Bershoff? I believe that Honorable Bershoff is also covered. Then on that note, it looks like we have the department has sufficiently responded to the engagements and clarifying questions that were posed to the team. Maybe what we could do, maybe just to check from the Deputy Minister, any patchy notes. Yes, dear.
Thanks, Chair. I've had to change positions. I was beginning to have the difficulties that Honorable Khai is having. Chairperson, thanks very much. And let me thank the members of the committee for their questions. And thank Dr. Shetty and the team for the presentation. We will come back when you call us on to make presentations on the other master plans that we're working on. We will certainly endeavor to ensure together with the team that we can act on those matters that the members of the committee have raised, and that where there are weaknesses, we can strengthen our capacity to be able to do our work better. And thanks very much for giving us this opportunity.
Thank you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you.
For the indeed from ourselves on behalf of the select committee, I want to take this opportunity to express gratitude. also to the department led by the DM and Dr. Chetty and the team in terms of the presentation that was made, but also opportunity to give much more clarity in terms of the engagement and questions and discussions that were posed by our members. It contributes to ensure that there is much more convergence and clarity in terms of where we are going in this sector, the challenges, the history of the challenges that the sector is going through, the interventions made. But more than that, I think the fact that from last year, the president was able to say from the sector, what are the challenges, what are your key problematic areas that has to be focused on, and we were able to ensure that the master plan is developed from the sector, and the buy-in from the key stakeholders in the sector, but more than that, the commitment also made by the workers, the manufacturers, and labor, and government to rally around the master plan. The key commitments that we made in line of the pillars of the master plan and the progress that we have made, but of course taking into account the challenges that were brought by COVID and how you have responded towards those challenges. What is more critical is the ability to make sure that the buy local is much more popularized, particularly given the opportunities that are in the sector that we have outlined in terms of the number of jobs that the sector creates, and also its contribution to the gross and domestic product, and the commitment to double that contribution to the GDP. I think it aligns our fears and also put us in a much more better position to say across the province there were challenges, but interventions in terms of the collaboration by the agencies in terms of ensuring that the illegal import is to a certain extent arrested and brought to a halt. But mindful of the fact that what is critical is to ensure that indeed the sector is rescued and repositioned within the broader reimagining that strategy of the government. And on that note, the meeting is now adjourned.
Mr. Mumbus, sorry, before you adjourn, we've got two sets of minutes we need to adopt.
Let's probably then allow the DMM the team and then let the members just give those minutes.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DMM and Dr. Chetty.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Remove the first set of minutes, Nadia.
Can you see?
Yes.
No.
The minutes of the 25th of August that there would be consideration of the gambling board. I want to believe that honorable members have ample opportunity to vote in the minutes. Is there any reflection that the correction that members would want to make in terms of the minutes? The attendance, any correction on the attendance and apologies? Let's go to the members of the resolution in the future. Those were the members of the provincial legislature that attended, and then the department representative. Okay. Next page. That's opening and welcome, and then the by the department. Okay. that the reflection in terms of how the province is rooted. Can we then, in the absence of any correction, get a move for the adoption of the minutes?
I would so move, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Fai, for move to adopt the minutes. Can we get a second on that?
Dango.
Thank you, Senor Dango. Second you. The minutes of the 21st of July 2020, can we get to the second set of minutes?
Committee?
Yes.
The
21st
of July.
21st of July. Yes. Let's go down. I hope another member can be able to see how the consideration of the supplementary adjustment budget went on. Next page. That's the how the report was adopted. Those in favor, those that abstained, and those that were against. Let's go to the next budget vote report. Department of Trade and Industry. That is the reflection of how members voted, those in favor and those that abstained, and those that voted against. Let's move to the next area which speaks to what is important is that the report was adopted, and then the consideration of the minutes of 9 June, the consideration of the minutes of the 3rd of July, consideration of the minutes of the 9th of July, the consideration of the minutes of the 10th of July, and the consideration of the minutes of the 15th of July, and then the closing remarks. Is there any correction from other members? In the absence of any addition, subtraction, can you then get a move for the adoption of the minutes?
I'll move for the adoption, Jay.
Thank you, Honorable Professor, for moving. Can you get a second there?
I'll second it, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Dango. Honorable members, our minutes, our both documents are therefore duly adopted. Is there any further action, Maria?
Yes, Chair, just an announcement that there's a meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock to address outstanding matters relating to the National Lotteries Commission. Immediately after this meeting, I'll be sharing the link of the meeting with members. So the meeting with the PIC, the PC on trade tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Chair?
Members, that's the announcement. Are we happy?
Yes, it's fine. Chair, Honourable Brother said, I will write to my dear, but I'll have to tender my apologies for that meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Brother said. I will also be in another meeting. But I think what is critical is that members, those that can be able to log in, let's attend that meeting because they're not being on the issues of lottery that was canvassed last time of the department. So, Honorable Members, I want to believe that that was the last time on item on the agenda. From the committee secretary, are we happy with that?
Yes, we've concluded the issues for today.
Thank you. Let me again express gratitude on behalf of the committee and the chair for the successful convening and holding of the Committee of Trade and Competition, as well as indeed, it has been a long day. Members, Thank you.